Welcome into late night here for the Sports Objective here, and we have Pirate basketball overtime. Unfortunately, the Pirates lose the first game of the season for them, and that would be to the Mustangs 70-55. With us right now, we have a very special guest, Bubba Rosenbaum.
Doing all right, Dave. Obviously, could have been better had we found a way to pull off the road victory. But all in all, I'm feeling encouraged by a lot of the things I saw tonight, and I think we're going to have an excellent season.
No doubt about it. Very excited to have a guy that was actually a Pirate playing basketball during my time at East Carolina. Very excited to have with us a very special guest, right, Bubba?
Absolutely. Very excited to welcome another basketball letter winner to the program, Curly Young, who played for the Pirates from 91 to 94 for head coach Eddie Payne after transferring in, actually under Mike Steele and sitting out a season. Welcome in, Curly Young.
Good evening, guys.
Glad to have you, Curly. Thank you so much for joining us. Pirates, unfortunately, go down. You actually are from Dallas, live in Dallas, I should say, and you had a chance to attend the game. So, first of all, thank you for coming on. We're going to talk about your career too, but first we want to get your initial takes right after the game, and then we'll talk about your career and much more here in our overtime.
Sure. Be happy.
Give us your thoughts. Curly, you were there at the game. Talk about, you were talking pre-show. But talk about the very fact of what you saw there, the differences for you between SMU and the Pirates. Pirates lose by 15.
Okay. Actually, David, the game all in all was a pretty tight game statistically throughout the entire game. The only thing I noticed that we made a few more turnovers than SMU did, and they just had more second chance points. We allowed them to get more offensive rebounds for easy stick backs. With that being said, other than that, just looking at statistics throughout the game, it's pretty even. I felt like we could have taken probably like more three point shots. That was another difference in the game. They hit a few more threes than we did. With the threes, the turnovers, and the second chance points, that's the difference in the game.
No question. You look at Bubba, I was going to say, you look at with this game, one of the things we've got to do is we've got to find a way. We're doing a nice job of the competition that we're playing, the non-conference games, the games kind of like the warm-up games early in the season. We're doing a better job winning those games and doing a better job so far winning the 50-50 games. But now, Curly, we got to find a way. Our next step is to be able to compete with the big boys of the league and the American.
Exactly. For me, you have no better coach than to, just to have the team progress, for the second half of the season, provided everything goes well and we get the opportunity to play, through this COVID pandemic. I expect Coach Joe Dooley, he was an assistant at the time, during my time playing, didn't get enough credit because, he worked with us a lot on just fundamentals and the mental part of the game, being able to finish it, finish in the end. This team tonight reminded me a lot of just where we were. The season and winning that championship. We played, pretty good the first half, and then we went a stretch, without scoring points. And was just able to put that together in the end. This team here tonight, I think, and I'm pretty optimistic that it's just going to be a few things to fine tune, and this team should be, competing in the top half of the American this year.
Kind of piggybacking off of what we were discussing just a few minutes ago, guys, and you, Curly, you were talking about the second chance points. The Pirates, and this was an area I was concerned with coming into tonight's game. SMU was out rebounding their opponents by, I think, 11 or 12 rebounds per game.
Right.
We held our own on the glass for the most part, 39-36 SMU's way, and we actually had one more offensive rebound than they did, 10-9. But to your point, Curly, the Mustangs outscored us 13-4 on second chance points and 30-20 points in the paint.
Exactly. Like I said, the second chance points, I thought it was the biggest difference. From looking at the game, from what I saw, I just felt like that's just a matter of the players just taking assignment to box out, make sure we're boxing out all over the court, because that's what it was. You know, they would take long shots, ball was bouncing long, and they would get, you know, just getting the second chance efforts, which were layups. So if we, you know, we can just eliminate that, you know, put our bodies on everybody. I think this ECU team would do fine this year. Like I said, be at the top half of the American Conference.
And Curly, there was and Bubba, there was a possession in the second half, and I wish I should have. Sometimes I need to write down notes, but sometimes I feel like when I'm writing notes, I'm distracted and not watching the game. But there was a possession that was driving me nuts, and I was yelling at the TV. But there was the reason I was yelling at the TV was that there was at least five or six. We were talking about second chance. They had five or six chances to score, and they did score. And so I was like, man, there's things like that that happen. I can't remember. Do you remember that, Bubba, the possession I'm talking about?
Yeah, it looked like we were playing volleyball. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember if the guy, JC, got the put back. It was right there about the 14 or 15 minute mark in the second half, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was so frustrated because, Curly, you being a former player, you know, I was like, get that basketball. That's our ball. Get that ball.
Yeah.
And, I know it's easier said than done because I have a ticket, so to speak. I'm watching the game and not playing it, but that was very frustrating for me.
Yes, yeah, it's that right there is just for me. Like I said, it's nothing to get alarmed about. I think it's a simple fix, you know, and you know, and playing sports is always about the numbers. So the more possessions, the more opportunities you get. Like I said, in order to get that. Just feel like we need to do a better job of putting bodies on everybody and eliminating those second chances for the easy shots, because you know some of them were dunks, and I was like, no way, you know, we can't win a game giving up those easy shots like that.
No question about it. Hey, Bubba, Curly, the thing for me that was another big thing for me was what Coach was talking about. Curly, I want to get your take, and Bubba.
Okay.
Bubba, I believe if I'm right, help me remember. Was it 14 turnovers tonight? I believe that's right.
That's about right.
So 14 turnovers is not bad. Yeah, 14 turnovers is not bad. But Curly, Coach talked about the previous. There we have it up on the screen for those who are listening to the podcast. We did have 14 turnovers to their 12. The problem is, Coach said, Curly, that he counts not only the 14, but if you talk about shot selection and bad shots.
Mm-hmm.
Those are to him turnovers because we have a bad shot. They get the ball back. He considers that a turnover. And that was my big concern tonight is the 3-point shooting. And if you miss a shot, they're a fast break team. That's a potential easy possession for them that you just can't have when they're one of the best teams in the conference. You got to find a way to stop that. I think first half we did a better job. And it may be just simply that they just – they have definitely talent there, but maybe they outworked us. But they just found a way to take over the game there about what, 15, 16 minute mark early in the second half, it seemed like.
Well, defensively, I think we could have did a better job as well as keeping the point guard out the middle. He seemed to have a pretty good game penetrating and dishing the ball off. That's another small thing I think that we can get better on. Just keeping the penetration out the middle, breaking down the defense. I saw a lot of layups, you know, from his penetration. But like I said, I wouldn't be alarmed about it. I think these are easy fixes and definitely things that Coach Dooley and staff will, you know, get to work on ASAP.
And kind of you know, piggybacking off what you're saying, Curly, as far as the buckets in the paint in the second half, I already talked about how SMU outscored East Carolina 30-20 in the paint. In the first half, it was largely the three ball, from Davis, and then also McNeil. Those guys knocked down five or six threes and scored 24 out of SMU's 30 points. But in the second half, it was Davis letting other guys do the work. He was distributing the basketball, penetrating and finding guys, and everybody got in on the action. And I'll tell you what, Jaguar and then also Faron Hunt, those guys, 6'8 or 6'9, and they're very versatile.
Right. Exactly. You calling it on the head. I saw this the very same thing. I just think it's like I said, it's a good sign for me, because I can see that the improvements that we need to make to become the team we're looking to become, you know, they're simple fixes. I continue to believe. I know Coach Dooley is going to change that. He's, you know, it's almost like I was looking at him tonight and he was taking note on the sideline, you know. So if it weren't for, the COVID pandemic and, you know, all of the restrictions you had for COVID, I think I would have been very interested to get back there and just see what he had to say to the players. I had a good idea, but like I said, it's, you know, the score, like I said, it doesn't indicate at all how close the game was statistically. And if you look at the stats, you know, you wouldn't see a 15-point difference there because it's so close. But like you said, Dave and Bubba, you both, it was just a few 3-point shots. And basically us just giving up the second chance shots, which were easy layups practically.
No doubt. And Curly, with the game, another thing that was frustrating for me is I'm the kind of guy that I like to attack the basket. And it seemed like the second half, the game is more, I know, 3-point oriented now than it was back when we were at East Carolina and you were playing, but it was a different era. I understand that, you know, and it's small ball and there's different things that are different now. But one thing about it is when you're down and you're having trouble scoring and you're not making your shots like right. We were tonight, then for me, I want to attack the basket because good things can happen. I'll be closer to the basket, or maybe the percentages should go up for me, that I'll have a chance to make a basket. Or also, Jaden Gardner's excellent at getting contact, going to the line, making free throws. And Bubba and I know Bubba, I didn't realize it was that few, but we only had 9 attempts tonight. I thought it was in the teens, but it was only 9 attempts for free throws, and we only make, what, Bubba, 5 of them? 5 out of 9?
Yeah, we were 5 out of 9. And something else, Dave, when you bringing up Jaden Gardner and talking about him attacking the basket, Jaden got off to an excellent start. He not so much attacking the basket, but knocking down 16 and 18-foot jump shots. But then SMU and the length that I've already referenced, they did an excellent job taking Jaden away. And we'll hear Coach Tim Jankovich's remarks here in a little bit, post-game, talking about Ethan Jaguar and the job he did, as well as other guys on Jaden Gardner, who came into the game averaging 20-8, finished with 13-4, and he had to earn absolutely everything that he got. Only 5 out of 14 on the floor, and he went pretty hard there in the second half.
And he also he's only like 7 points away now from going 10th all time, right, brother? I believe he had 13. I think he was coming into tonight, he was like 19 points away from 10th place or tying. It would be, I guess, 20 points he needed. Yeah. But anyway.
Tonight, 15 points, Dave, to pass. I want to Brock Young to move him tonight. Young,
yeah. Yeah, so the next game, he's going to be 10th all-time scorer. Curly, this kid is amazing. A lot of people thought after his freshman year he was going to transfer. If he stays healthy, like I think he will, he stays healthy, and obviously he's still got at least year and next year. Who knows? He might stay for that extra year. But he's a guy that can easily score 2,000, don't you think?
Yeah, I think he played. He played pretty well. He was attacking the basket tonight. As you stated, I hope Gardner is okay. It looked like he landed on the tailbone there, major spill there. So best of luck to him going forward. But I believe he, along with some of the other guys in the lineup, your Newsom, Suggs.
Yeah, Brandon Suggs.
Yeah, they can give us a lift. They can give us a lift. And I just think, we're a little bit off shooting that second half. But like I said, that's the consistency is something that any team has to work on going throughout the season. So, we just looking to get consistent throughout the game, throughout the 40-minute game. I saw everything that gave me all the excitement, going forward that we're able to get to that level.
And Curly, another thing to
come up with is, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to make a quick point and be ready for you, Bubba. My point is that with this matchup tonight, I love boxing, Curly. This was like a heavyweight fight. And in other words, if you're fighting another guy, that guy's going to punch you.
Right.
And not that I want the teams to have a brawl. I'm just saying, that run is coming where they're going to have a big run. In this particular case, they're a huge juggernaut. So how are you going? The question is, when you get punched in the mouth, how are you going to respond? And that's the next thing for me is how the Pirates can answer, how they will respond when they get punched in the mouth.
Just think it needs to be a little bit of film. Of course, you have to get those mental reps. So just need to go back and watch the film. Just get a real clear vision of what we need to improve on and where we went wrong in the game. As I stated prior, like you said, we have to expect the punch in the mouth coming, especially when a team is home on their home floor. They're going to make a run at some point. The game is even. It wasn't a big crowd tonight, but still they had home advantage and, they had more fans sitting in the stands. So it's something we got to get over. But like I said, I stand very optimistic. I know Coach Joe Dooley will address everything, all of the shortcomings of tonight's game, in which they weren't too many. Because like I said, just looking at the stats, and I was keeping them throughout the game, I was like, man, we're right there statistically. However, they've made a few more threes. They've gotten to the line a little bit more, less turnovers, and of course, more second chance points. So just addressing those four things, I don't see it as anything big, and just see it as something that the Pirate basketball team can overcome and eventually get consistent when we're playing the bigger teams and be able to pull out some big wins.
And a guy that I put up the numbers from tonight's game, individual numbers here just a moment ago, Batumba Baruti, he knocked down 3 out of 4 threes, so that was an excellent sign. He continued to play well last year. He didn't play with a whole lot of confidence, and you saw it in glimpses, but a lot of inconsistent play from Batumba last year. But this year, he had his third game double figures already, and he averaged over 8 points and a half rebounds. So hopefully that will continue from Batumba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be a good thing. That would definitely be a good thing for the team. I think that, like I said, we just as a team, we're going to have to play on a more consistent level. It's great to have an individual. He's putting up good numbers, but we need everybody to come along and just be able to count on a certain level of play every night. just sustain that certain level of play. And it's just all about the consistency.
No doubt. These guys are, you know, we've got a lot of great things going for us, starting with our head coach, the coaching staff, the support staff, with like Kyle Robinson, Derek DeMazy, all those guys. But for me, what's missing for me right now is I want to get you, Bubba and I were talking about this. We have the guards. We've got the wing players. We have 1, 2, 3, and 5. It looks like for me, Curly, and Bubba, we're talking about we're missing the four. We're missing that power forward that we really desperately need right now.
Right. I would say the same thing. I've been watching, and you know, we got some pretty nice ass guys, you know, coming off the bench. Maybe we need to give them a little bit more time, you know, to develop game time, that is. And, you know, let's see where it takes us, because, you know, that's another thing we're definitely going to need going forward. We need strong bench play. Got to be able to have that play to, you know, just keep up the intensity, you know, while the starters are getting the rest.
All right, Curly, we want to talk. Obviously, we're very happy to have you on tonight, and want to talk a little bit about your career first, though. Bubba, we've got comments from Coach after the game from SMU, and do you want to go to that?
Yeah, we heard from Coach Tim Jankovich at his post-game press conference. He is talking about the excellent defensive performance of Ethan Jaguar, and then also other Mustangs against the Pirates. Jaden Gardner, obviously one of the top players in the American, and let's go to those right now.
The approach was he's really good, and I think he's averaged 20 a game since he's been in the darn league, right? He's had some good games against us last year. We guarded him, and I think he got 20, and he got 6 offensive rebounds. He got 0 offensive rebounds. You know, we just ask guys to take the challenge. Ethan took it. Ethan had him most of the time. Isaiah had him a little, Theron had him a little, you were a little bit. But Ethan did an amazing job. And look how, you know, I look at Ethan's offensive numbers. I believe with all my heart he's 1 for 8 and 0 for 4, because he had 3 finals in the last couple of days. Like he's wiped out. And for him to do that and get the rebounds he did and play with that much grit, and he kind of bumped his leg. He wasn't totally full speed much of the game. I thought that was just one heck of a gutsy performance, and I'm so happy with him right now.
There you have the post comments of SMU head coach Tim Jankovich, again talking about the excellent job SMU did defending Pirate leader Jaden Gardner.
Yeah,
there was a time tonight that I know that the defensive efforts of SMU, I want to take away from them because they were fantastic. But Curly, you played against tough opponents as well, and we're talking about your career, but when you know you're getting double teamed, you know the defense. Sometimes players tend to, in my opinion, and not just talking about East Carolina, but they tend to stand around. I did see where we were trying to move the ball around, and they were coming to the ball more. But when you have a situation like that, when the tenacious defense, you've got to move around and create space and the backdoor cuts and all that kind of stuff, right? Set picks.
Exactly. Like I said, Gardner, he's a good scorer. You know, he put up some good numbers. He's put up, you know, good numbers, you know, throughout the past. Sometimes in being a scorer, you got to become a decoy. However, you know, your other teammates, they got to have an expectation that you're going to find them. They have to set up. Have to be ready to shoot, knock down some shots. And then it makes the game a little bit easier for your top scorer at that point, because they can't put as much emphasis on him, because you have to guard everybody.
No question. You see the showing the stats tonight for those viewing on Facebook and YouTube. You know, Curly, the want to talk about your career. I know that you transferred in from Maryland under Mike Steele. Then you played 3 years for Eddie Payne. Talk about your experience. We're obviously talking about the unfortunate SMU loss tonight. But talk about your career at East Carolina a little bit tonight.
You know what? I had a great time at East Carolina. Every season didn't indicate it, but I will say this, like you expressed earlier, transferring from Maryland, I had a pretty tough road because, you know, I felt as a kid, you know, being a little bit of a young man back then, I felt I got dealt some pretty tough blows because when I went to Maryland initially, I signed under a coach, Bob Wade, you know, the fall of my senior year in high school, but the spring he got fired. So when I went to Maryland, I ended up playing for Coach Gary Wims, in which it was his first year there from Ohio State. Didn't have too bad of a run. Started first few games or so, but, you know, I was young. I was 17 years old. We had quite a few stars on the team at that time. But that particular year, we ended up going on probation. So, you know, I just felt like, you know, that was everything I wanted to come to college for. We got hit with sanctions with no postseason play, no TV time. And at that point, I was just looking for somewhere to come where I could get on the court. And, coincidentally, the year before I got to ECU, Blue Edwards had just played and got drafted first round. And I looked at him and was like, you know, similar player, similar size. You know, I think I could have some success there. So anyway, I think I had a coach reach out to Mike Steele. You know, once I went, you know, it's not the transfer portal per se, but put out there I wanted to transfer. And, he took a trip. Came up to Maryland, watched me play a little bit of basketball and was like, you know, yes, I could use you. So I was happy to be even closer to home. You know, Maryland was 4 hours from home. ECU, 2 hours away from my hometown in Chesapeake, Virginia. And, you know, at the time, you know, Coach Steele told me it would be, you know, up-tempo basketball, which was that was beneficial to me at the time. I had seen the team play prior, and I knew it was some pieces there. I was like, you know, we could have a pretty good run, you know, adding a couple pieces to the team. So got there in 90, had to sit out that year because it was a little bit different back then. When you transfer carps, you have to sit out. So set out, practice with the team, and, was looking forward to playing, the prior year. Prior year, we had a little bad luck with injury. I think we had like 3 or 4 ACL tears that year. So, we had bigs, but, you know, ironically, it happened to some of our bigs, like Ike Copeland, you know, a guy that, you know, he's a tenacious rebounder. We needed him. So we had a pretty much of a struggle that first year, playing from 91 to 92. 92 to 93, that was the great year. We went to the NCAA, but we went to the NCAA and before we got to the conference tournament, I think we went on a stretch of probably about like anywhere from like, I think it was like 6 to 8 games, probably like 6 or 7 games more so, where we were winning. And end up giving the game away. We were winning to the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game and ended up losing like those 6 or 7 games by like 1 to 3 points at that time. And it's kind of similar to, you know, what I'm seeing tonight and tonight's ECU team. We just had to learn how to play for 40 minutes. And with that being said, you know, the coaches, we continually worked on it. And we were able to put it together and go on a very good run as far as the Colonial conference tournament and, you know, was able to pull off and get the championship and go to the NCAA. Great experience that year, playing the eventual national champ in North Carolina Tar Heels. I even thought we did pretty well against them, you know, considering the size difference that we had. And I think that year they may have had probably about like seven. Let me see. They had like 3 7-footers on the team that year.
Yep.
And no doubt about it. The point guard might have been Derek Phelps. He's about 6'4". He was bigger than most of the guys on that team.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember that game very well. But funny story. I don't know if you know this, Curly, but a friend of the show, of the podcast, and a dear friend of mine, Jeff Charles, voice of the Pirates, tells a story about the very fact that when we were playing in the CAA at the Richmond Coliseum there, obviously in Richmond, and he would talk about how he brought one outfit because it's like one and done. We'd always lose the first round. So what happened, he just brought one outfit, and he had to go by and out and buy some more clothes.
Well, I'm glad we had to make him upgrade his wardrobe. Definitely good memory though, man. Unforgettable, you know, to say the least. To be seated seventh and to come out and, you know, to beat the teams we did, with, you know, having beaten Old Dominion first and then UNC Wilmington and then eventual James Madison, which were, you know, top teams in the league. So go right ahead.
I'm sorry, I thought you were finished. There was a little bit of lag. I was just going to say, add to that, was the very fact that James Madison was by far the, I would say, probably, wouldn't you say, the best team in the league. And you have Lecter Giselle, who was there at Maryland before you got there. And so he comes to James Madison, one of the legendary coaches in the history of college basketball, and does a fine job there in Harrisburg.
Yes. Like I said, that was an interesting year. We actually played them pretty close throughout the year. The teams that I just named, as far as, you know, having to go through to defeat to win a championship. But like, as you stated, James Madison was, you know, they had great personnel from top to bottom that year. And, of course, they have, you know, somewhat of, in my opinion, a fame coach. So, very interesting. But as stated, that right there just left me with the ideology that anything really can happen. You know what I mean? Going forward, you know, if a team decides to just buckle down and collectively make every effort to get that chemistry and be on the same page. That's exactly what we did. And you could tell it by the way we played, you know, throughout that time. We played for each other.
Curly, some things that I remember from that CAA tournament run that you've been talking about. You talked about Ike Copeland. Ike Copeland came off that knee injury. I still remember him wearing that big brace. But in that quarterfinal victory against Old Dominion, he had about 18, maybe 20 points. And had a career night and really took it to the Monarchs inside. And then, like you said, that JMU team that we beat, it was a really a slugfest in that championship game on Monday night, like 59-54 or something. It was tremendous basketball game as far as just being competitive and going down to the end. And I guess I was 11 years old at the time, and remember remember it like it was yesterday. It was a lot of fun. Okay. And then, like you said, Montross and Salvadori in the first round. I remember seeing the video of on the coach's show, the way Coach Payne was using a stick with a head on it trying to get y'all ready. That was hilarious because our tallest guy was Ike Copeland at 6'8", and they were with 3 7-footers. So they were talking about how they were high-sticking.
Definitely times of the past. Like you stated, that quarterfinal game against Old Dominion, Ike played lights out. He actually shot 100%. And wow. I had probably like, I think it, if I can remember correct, I think he was more than 18 and 20. I think it was closer to maybe like 25. And he even hit all of his free throws that game as well. Yeah. So, you know, we knew, you know, Ike is not much of a scorer. He was the heart and soul, you know, of our defense, as well as, you know, rebounding. He pulled it out for us that game. He put it on the line. And that first game, Lester Lyons had a bit of a slow game. You know, he's our leading scorer. That second game against UNCW, we got Lester back offensively. And we were able to pull that game off rather easily, that semifinal game. And the last game, I felt like it was a truly collective effort from everyone. I think everybody played well. Everybody that played in that game contributed. And I will even go as far as to say our, you know, even the bench guys, you know, they cheered us on really hard. So that was just that championship game was a collective effort, definitely deserving, I feel like, on our part. I give all the credit to the coaches. We had coach, you know, head coach Eddie Payne. We had assistant coach Joe Dooley, current head coach, and we had another assistant coach Mike Hopkins as well. They put together a great plan for us. Being as though we were a smaller team, they pretty much shortened the game. You know, back then it was a 45-second shot clock.
Right.
So we perfected running down that shot clock and getting a good shot in the end. Did it pretty well. And like I said, even the Carolina game, you know, it was some stretches where the lead may have gotten a little bit big, but I was pretty, you know, not that I'm going to take a moral victory, but I was pretty proud of our team that day, you know, just for, you know, it was only a 10-point lead at halftime.
Right.
And we, you know, we succumbed by 16 points at the end. And Lester had a very good game that game. He played us out. So we, you know, if we didn't do anything else that game, you know, in the NCAA, we got the experience, and I think, you know, we got a little bit of respect.
No doubt. And, you know, with that game, I tell the story, but I didn't think I'd be able to go to that game, but I was one of the students, 50 students that won the lottery.
Oh, wow.
50 students to go. I was one of the 50. And sitting by that behind the basket there, one end of the Coliseum at Lawrence Joel, close to where Bubba lives. A little bit where I am. I'm in Eastern North Carolina, north of Greenville, but I'll never forget that game. And one of the things that drove me nuts in that game is it seemed like we would get down, Curly, to 9 points, cut it to like nine, and we never could get beyond that, like where we couldn't cut. And then late in the game is when we started fouling, and then the score went in the opposite direction, trying to get back in the game. But
exactly. That's what I was saying. Those seven-footers came in at the fouling at the end. You know, they started to take advantage of the size. They posted us up quite a bit, and, you know, it's kind of hard to defend that. When, like I said, Ike was our tallest guy at 6'8", and, you know, he was the one who played. So we had him. Everybody else, you know, gave up a few more inches. So, you know, we did the best we can, but like I said, I would never take that back because our guys played so hard that game, and they came to play.
But, Curly, moving on from that game, you know, going into that 93-94 season, which was your senior year, we went 15-12 that year, and that was the first of four consecutive winning seasons in a stretch, 2 years under Eddie Payne before he moved on to Oregon State, and then in the first 2 years of Joe Dooley's first stint as Pirate head coach, where we won an average of 17 games in those 4 years, which is our best stretch in our modern era.
Exactly. Well, like I expressed, I enjoyed playing under the coaches that we had. That's from the perspective of really teaching the game of basketball. They did a lot of teaching, you know, a lot of film sessions. And I was proud of being in that era where, you know, it was winning ECU basketball. And it was, you know, it built on from that year of getting to the NCAA. And, you know, it's as far as Pirate basketball, it's something to be proud of, you know, just within that era.
No question about it. Curly, as far as the current Pirate team, where do you see this team? It seems like we're so close to breaking it wide open. I know that you, me, and Bubba that are doing the show tonight, Kyle is the same way too. We're very optimistic, and it looks like we're so close to really breaking it open. And we're finished. We're predicted to finish ninth. I really believe we're a middle of the pack team. It's where we'll end up. I'm being honest, and I'm being it like our name of the show says. I'm being objective. I really think we're going to finish sixth before I have a Pirate.
Right. You know, as stated prior, I'm very optimistic along with you guys. From what I saw, I mean, what are we're 5-1 now, right?
Yes, sir. Five and one.
Okay. Yeah. So we haven't started off that. You know what I mean? If we can, you know, it's all the things that go along with winning. If we can protect our home court, you know, if we can, you know, get a certain amount of games on the road, and it all goes back to consistency. We got to have, you know, some of the players come up, score a few more points. I would like to see us personally take more threes numerically to be in a game with a team who shoots a bunch of threes. You know, you have to take your fair wear percentage as well. And like I said, just buckle down with giving up the second shots, a little bit more boxing out. I can imagine that drill going on at the next practices.
And no question, Curly. He'll
take care of that one.
We got a stretch coming up, the next five games, winnable games. You have James Madison and Tulane at home the next two. In fact, I'll talk about that in a second. But then you have at Wichita, at Tulane, and USF. If we're going to have any kind of season like I think we're going to have, every game is crucial. I know Coach will be killing me. Well, right now, the only game he cares about is Saturday, 1 o'clock at Williams Arena, Menchie's Coliseum against James Madison on ESPN+. But for me personally, the next handful of games are really important for this team this season.
Exactly. I'll tell you like this, as a player, every game is important. So, but you know, the ones that we're supposed to win, we definitely have to pull those out.
No doubt about it. Very excited to have you on tonight. What an honor to have you on. Curly is, you know, I tell people all the time, I thought as a 20 soon. Well, I was 19 at the time. I thought that I would be sooner rather than way later that we'd be back in the big dance. I think it'll be soon now when we get our chance to dance again in the NCAA tournament. And I hope that you'll be there with me and we'll be smiling really big and eventually we'll be able to high five again after COVID.
That's the goal. That's definitely the goal. I would love to see that myself. Like I said, big ECU fan. Hey, I'm a spokesperson out here for you in the Dallas area. I came in tonight, just coming into the game, and I saw a woman. She had on an ECU coat. She was like, hey, didn't expect to see too many people here in purple and gold. I was like, hey, I'm here.
You know? No doubt about it.
I would love it. They have, I know I've been watching the news networks, and they were talking about possibly holding the NCAA here in San Antonio in the bubble. I will be there if, you know, like I said, I am hoping that we can just elaborate on everything, just take it to another level, and just be that good team I know we can be. I think we have the pieces to do it. Guys just got to step up a little bit, and this is all a part of the nature of the game.
No question, Bubba. I know before we go, we have some results from the American around the league real fast, and then we'll get out and we'll say goodnight.
Yeah, Dave, like you mentioned, after Saturday's game with JMU, our next three opponents, or next three games, I should say, two opponents, a couple games against Tulane with a date against Wichita State out in Wichita mixed in between. But some results last night, Wichita State took down Tulsa at Tulsa 59-65. And then tonight you had South Florida upsetting Cincinnati 74-71. But then Tulane, who, like I said, the Pirates will be playing twice in the next four games. Tulane fell just shy against Memphis 80-74 in New Orleans.
Yeah, those are games that Gates State must win, but definitely we need to win them all. Hey, Curly, man, thank you so much. I know it's late, but you were generous with your time and very kind to come on tonight. Disappointed with the result on the court, but we're very happy to have you on, and I hope that you'll come back on and you won't be a stranger with us.
Oh, not at all. I enjoyed myself. Definitely to be a part of anything to deal with the ECU Pirates. Like I said, don't want to be a stranger to the program. I actually want to be a part of the program along with my fellow teammates from that same team. We often talk just on text threads all the time about this team, you know, where we think is headed. And, you know, everybody's pretty much optimistic about it. I just put out there, if you guys ever want me on, need me, I'm here for you.
Absolutely. We look forward to having you back on later in the season, Curly. And as we're letting you go, congratulations to one of the newest homeowners there in Dallas.
Exactly. You know what? It's been a run, but I'm so thankful to God for it. My family and I, we love the area. And like I said, look forward to possibly you guys even coming this way sometime. You know, once this COVID thing clears up, hey, I'm up here. You got an ECU Pirate alumni up here just waiting to take care of you.
Well, not only you, but also we have Neil Punt as well that played and under Coach Dooley. And the first, we call it Joe Dooley 1.0, I guess. But
yeah.
Neil's a great guy. I don't know if you know Neil, but certainly – we love him too, and you both of you guys are in that area.
Okay, yeah, I haven't met him personally, but I have heard of him.
All right, well, Curly, thanks, man. We appreciate it so much, and look forward to having you on again. This hopefully we can have a whole bunch of games to talk about and games, and we'll definitely have you back on, my friend.
No problem. Thank you, Dave, and thank you again, Bubba.
Absolutely. Thanks, Curly.
No doubt about it. Curly, thank you so much. What a great guy. Bubba, love our Pirates. You know, he's a perfect example of why we pull so hard while we have that purple and gold, the Pirate pride. And thanks to you once again, my friend, behind the scenes, having a great guy like him. And we'll definitely we'll have post-game comments after Saturday's game. The game is 1 o'clock. Thank you, Bubba, for putting that up on the screen. For those listening, it's on ESPN Plus. And of course, our good friends, Jeff Charles and Cy Seymour, will have the call on Learfield IMG College, Pirate Sports Radio Network. And airtime will be 12:30. And that'll be on 107.9 WNCT, the flagship station of the Pirates. All right, Bubba, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, Curly. Until next time, we've been talking basketball and talking some ECU hoops overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.